Have you ever heard of the phrase felony murder? It sounds kind of intense, right?
Yeah, it definitely does.
So basically, it's this idea in law where someone can be charged with murder even if they didn't directly like intend to kill.
Right.
If the death happened while they were in the middle of committing a dangerous felony.
Exactly. And it's a really controversial area of the law. A lot of people criticize it as being unfair
Yeah, Coco.
because sometimes it doesn't require actually proving the intent to kill, And that's what makes the 1984 case of People versus Smith, which is a California Supreme Court decision, so interesting.
Okay.
This case really gets into this kind of gray area of when the felony and the death are so connected that it's almost impossible to separate them.
Gotcha. And this particular case, we're talking about child abuse, right?
That's right.
So this isn't going to be an easy one to unpack.
No, it's not, but it's a really important one.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into it. This case involves the death of a 2-year-old girl, Amy, and she was abused really terribly by her mother, Linda Smith, and Smith's boyfriend.
Yes.
And it wasn't just like a single incident. I mean, the court records talk about like this ongoing pattern of just awful violence,
Yeah, definitely.
beatings with a paddle, biting. The boyfriend even put a wastebasket on Amy's head and like hit her.
Oh my gosh.
It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, and it's important to recognize, just how brutal the abuse that Amy suffered really was. It wasn't like a parent just losing their temper for a second. It was this, prolonged and just horrifying pattern of violence.
Right.
So the legal question at the center of this case is, did the child abuse basically like merge with the homicide?
Right.
And because of that, does that mean that the felony murder rule doesn't apply?
Okay. So break down this merger concept for me. It sounds like it's key to like why this even went to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, so think of it like this. Merger basically means that some felonies are so tied to causing harm, they're inherently dangerous, that you can't really use them to justify a totally separate murder charge.
Okay.
It's like if you assault someone, right,
Yeah.
and you mean to really hurt them, and they die because of that assault, the assault and the homicide are so closely connected. They're basically the same act.
Got it.
They kind of blend together.
So in this case, the lower court, they convicted Linda Smith of second degree murder,
Right.
and they used the felony murder rule to do that.
Right, because her actions undeniably were dangerous and
Yeah.
they led to Amy's death.
But you said this went to the Supreme Court, so clearly there's something more here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The California Supreme Court actually overturned Smith's murder conviction, and it all boils down to this idea of merger that we were just talking about. They basically decided that in this specific case, the child abuse was the murder.
Okay.
There wasn't like a separate independent criminal goal, like let's say robbery, where death might happen, but it wasn't intentional.
Interesting. So they were basically saying the abuse was like so inherently dangerous that it couldn't be seen as this separate thing that led to an accidental death.
Yeah, precisely. Justice Mosk, who wrote the court's opinion, he actually said it would be illogical to allow this assault of child abuse to be bootstrapped into felony murder merely because the victim was a child. So the court saw the abuse and the homicide as inseparable, like not as separate pieces, which is what the felony murder rule needs to be
That
used.
makes sense.
Yeah.
But like, what about, one of the big arguments for the felony murder rule is deterrence, right?
Right.
So if we're saying we want to stop people from committing felonies that could lead to accidental deaths,
Yeah.
how does that work here?
Yeah.
If the felony itself, is intentionally hurting someone.
That's a really good point. And it's one of the main criticisms that people have of the felony murder rule. Can you really deter an unintentional killing when the act itself is intentional assault? That's the tough question that the Smith decision makes us confront.
Yeah.
It's a complicated issue for sure.
Okay. It feels like this case really pushes us to think about the whole idea of intent and, how we apply this felony murder rule. Like, can we just say, okay, any act of child abuse is inherently dangerous, so the felony murder rule like automatically kicks in.
Yeah, that's a really tricky question. And, there's been a lot of debate about that in legal circles. And it's true, child abuse is inherently dangerous. It's awful. But the felony murder rule, like we've been talking about, it's really supposed to be about accidental killings, right?
Right.
That happened during some other felony. And the Smith decision really shows us how complicated it gets when the felony itself is intentionally hurting someone.
Yeah. It's like we're trying to balance like holding these abusers accountable for what they did, you know, these horrible consequences.
Right.
But also, we got to make sure the law is being used fairly and the punishment actually fits the crime.
Absolutely. And that's exactly the tough spot that the courts are in, you know, when they're dealing with these kinds of cases. The Smick decision, it doesn't like downplay how serious child abuse is, not at all. But what it does is it says, hey, we need to use the right legal tools for each case. So by overturning this murder conviction, the Supreme Court was basically saying, look, this is a terrible, terrible thing that happened, but we can't just use the felony murder rule as a shortcut.
Uh-huh.
We need to prove malice aforethought if we're going to convict someone of murder.
So if we're talking about proving malice aforethought, does that mean now prosecutors got to get into the abuser's head?
Uh-huh.
Like trying to figure out if they really meant to kill the child?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. They have to show that the abuser, like, knew their actions could cause death, that they were acting with a conscious disregard for human life.
Okay.
That their actions were so reckless, so malicious, it's basically the same as intending to kill.
Gotcha.
And that's a much tougher standard to meet than just showing, hey, a felony happened and then someone died.
Okay, this is interesting. So the Smith decision clears things up when it comes to, you know, child abuse, where the abuse itself causes the death.
Right.
But what about when abuse is being used to do something else criminal?
Like, what if someone is abusing a child to, I don't know, make them beg for money?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be seen as like a separate criminal purpose? And then could you maybe use the felony murder rule then?
That's a great question. And the Smith decision actually talks about that.
Oh.
They say, look, there might be some cases where child abuse is being used to do something else criminal, and it doesn't necessarily merge with the homicide.
Okay.
Like in your example, if the prosecution can prove that the abuse was a direct part of this, you know, scheme to make the kid beg for money,
yeah,
then maybe the felony murder rule could be used.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a different criminal purpose beyond just the abuse itself.
So basically, Smith doesn't say you can never use the felony murder rule in a child abuse case.
Right.
It's all about looking closely at what happened, right?
Exactly.
And figuring out if the abuse was its own thing or if it was a tool to commit a different felony.
Yeah. Smith really stresses how important it is to do that careful legal analysis.
Mm-hmm. It's a reminder that, hey, the felony murder rule isn't just this like one size fits all thing.
Yeah.
Especially in cases where assault, and that includes child abuse, is at the heart of the crime.
It's amazing how this case, you know, it's about child abuse, but it also makes you think about the felony murder rule in all these other situations where the line between the felony and the death is blurry.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about like police shootings?
Right.
That happened during an arrest for like a small offense. Does Smith tell us anything about those?
That's for sure. Smith has actually been a big part of the ongoing discussions about, you know, how much force police should be allowed to use.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us ask, if an officer uses deadly force when they shouldn't have, could that be seen as its own act of assault?
Right.
Separate from the arrest.
Okay.
And could that then trigger the felony murder rule?
So we're basically asking if an officer, like, kills someone when they need to, could that be a separate assault?
Exactly.
On top of the arrest.
You got it. These are huge questions with really, really big implications. And even though the Smith case is about child abuse, it gives us this, like, legal framework to start thinking about these other kinds of situations.
It's kind of wild how this one case focused on child abuse has had this ripple effect on so many areas of criminal law.
It really has.
It makes us rethink how we define intent and causation and what justice even means.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this one case from the past, but it's still shaping how we understand the law today.
Exactly. It shows how powerful legal precedents can be, you know, how one case can start these big conversations and change how we think about complicated legal ideas. Smith, even though it's an older case, it's still super relevant for lawyers today who are dealing with these tough issues.
I mean, it's just wild to think about. Like, People v. Smith, it's from 1984.
Oh,
you know?
I know.
But it's still shaping legal arguments today.
Yeah.
It really shows you, like, as a lawyer, you got to keep up with precedents and how they change over time.
Absolutely, yeah. This case is, like, a perfect example of, you know, even legal principles that seem simple at first can actually be super complicated when you apply them to real life.
Yeah.
Like the felony murder rule. It's a textbook example of that.
Yeah. It feels like we've only like just dipped our toes into this whole thing.
Right.
People v. Smith, it opens up so many questions about intent and who's responsible and how do we balance finding justice, but also making sure things are fair in the legal system.
Totally. And that's what's so cool about these deep dives. You know, we're not just like giving you the spark notes on a case.
Right.
We're looking at how it all plays out, the debates it starts, and how it changes the legal landscape.
And it shows how important it is, like for anyone working in law, to really think critically and analyze, you know, especially in situations like child abuse or when force was used.
Yeah.
Smith really drives home that we can't just jump to conclusions. We have to look closely at what happened in each specific case.
Yeah, absolutely. Smith is a cautionary tale for lawyers and judges. Like, hey, the felony murder rule, it's not just some easy button to get a conviction. You have to really break down how the felony is connected to the death.
Yeah.
And always, always think about due process, making sure things are fair.
So for all our listeners out there, especially the legal eagles, what would you say is like the big takeaway from our deep dive on People v. Smith? What should they remember about the felony murder rule?
I think the most important thing to take away is, yeah, the felony murder rule, it's powerful, but it's not a shortcut, especially in cases where you're dealing with assault, like child abuse. You need to be careful, you know, really look at the details, figure out if the felony and the death are separate things. And if you do use the felony murder rule, make sure it's fair, make sure it serves justice. Smith gives us a really solid framework to work with when we're facing these tricky legal issues.
Absolutely. I mean, People v. Smith, it might be an older case, but the questions it raises about what's right and wrong, they're just as important today as they were back then.
Yeah.
It reminds us that, you know, the law isn't just some static set of rules. It's alive. It changes. It adapts to how people behave and how the world's changing around us.
And that's why it's so important to keep learning, keep asking questions, keep having conversations like the one we're having right now.
Totally.
So until next time, everyone, keep those legal brains sharp and never stop exploring the amazing world of law.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time for another look at a landmark legal case.